Hello there, Rock Church family. It is good to be with you today. Wherever I am in your home, whether it be on your phone, you're on your couch, I'm on your TV, maybe you're hanging out on your Stairmaster, whatever you choose to do today to watch the service, we're just so thankful that you're watching with us and tuning in online through the different realms of social media and the internet. If you are on Facebook, why don't you go ahead and comment, like, let us know where you're at today. We'd love to hear from you, who you're watching with. That would be awesome. And hey, if you hear something that encourages you, don't stop, just go ahead and just type comment, amen. Love to hear that too. It's always encouraging. So we're going to go back to the Gospel of Mark for maybe the six of you who remember. We started going verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark, and it was awesome. But if you remember, in this fall, we took a break. We had a 20-year celebration. The Rock Church has been meeting for 20 years, and that's been we reason to celebrate, which I think is kind of awesome to think about today, that Pastor Bill and his family started the Rock Church in their home 20 years ago, and then here we are today. God's totally in control. He knows what's going on, and we're all meeting in our homes yet again. That is wonderful. So we're going to be back in the Gospel of Mark. We went through a family series in the fall. We went through Christmas. We celebrated Christmas in the beginning of the year. We went through the Truth, Love, and Culture series, and then this thing called coronavirus showed up and told everybody to take a time out. So we spent a few weeks talking on fear and hope and faith and trusting in the Lord. And then last week, we celebrated Easter. We love Easter and the resurrection. So today, and for the next little while, we felt like it was good as a church to just try and get back to normalcy, get back to what we were originally doing before we took some breaks. And so we're going to be back in the Gospel of Mark. We're glad you're with us today. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and grab them and crack them open to Mark chapter 10. And if you're new and you're checking us out for the first time, please be sure to connect with us. You can go to the link. You'll see it pop up a couple times throughout the message, trc.life/connect. We'd love to hear from you, where you're at, where you're joining with us, and whatnot. So if you got your Bibles, we're in Mark chapter 10. And before we pick up where we left off, we have to remember where we left off. Last time we talked through the gospel, we preached through the Gospel of Mark. We had this story of Jesus, a conversation he has with the man we call the rich young ruler. And it's important that we have that story on our mind, because these verses that we see today are in a response, a conversation that Jesus and his disciples have shortly after. So if you remember, in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17, the rich young ruler approaches Jesus, and he has some questions for Jesus. He asks, "What must I do to go to heaven?" And this guy, by the looks of it, seems like he's got all of life figured out. The Bible tells us that he's rich, and he's young, and he's a ruler, so he's got authority, he's got some money, he's probably pretty popular. So you'd go, on paper, man, this guy's got everything. And then he comes to Jesus and says, "What do I have to do in order to gain eternal life?" And then Jesus begins to have this conversation with this man. And we start to realize that this man has some things that are actually going to prevent him from following Jesus. And Jesus, being God, exposes that for the man. And the man, we realize, has some issues that are preventing him from following Jesus. It is his pride and obviously his wealth. And the man, he counts the cost of what it would take to follow Jesus for him, and he decides, this is not what I want. And he walks away sorrowful, realizing Jesus is not worth giving up his comfy life. And so that brings us to where we are today, because in the verses we're going to look at, Jesus has some words of encouragement and assurance for those who have chosen to follow Jesus. So I've titled our message this weekend, Reassuring Promises. These wonderful promises that we're going to hear from Jesus today, they're true for every single one of us who follow the Lord. Even when things seem really difficult, when it feels like no matter how hard life may become or how hard the next season may be, these promises are true for us today. And we see in these verses what Jesus tells us, that even if we lose in this life, he reassures us that what we gain in following our Lord Jesus is so much better than anything the world could ever give us. So if you would pray with me one more time, and then we'll get rolling. You can bow your heads with me. Lord, thankful that we could meet together as a family through the internet. God, thank you for technology. Thank you for all the men and women behind the scenes this weekend making the service work. God, we're really blessed. I pray for my family this weekend, Lord, that they're sitting in their homes or maybe they're watching at work, wherever they may be, that you would meet them in this moment today, that God, your words would speak to them, that they would be reassuring for their hearts and their souls. And Lord, that I ask that you'd speak through me, that through my voice, through me, God, this man, you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, illuminate your scriptures for your children. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, it'd be acceptable in your sight, Jesus. Would you use me? We love you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Good to be with you again. So let's get right into it. Remember, the rich young ruler counted the cost following Jesus, doesn't want anything to do with that, so he walks away. And then Peter, good old loudmouth Peter, he always is the first to speak up, doesn't he? In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Peter began to say to him, Jesus, see, we have left everything and followed you. Peter, in his typical fashion, right, he's always the first to speak, and he says, hey, Jesus, just so you're clear, right, that guy, he didn't do what you told him he needed. If he wanted to follow you, he says he doesn't want anything to do with that. And he didn't follow you, but we did. Look at us, right? We're doing the right stuff. And that's true. Peter and Andrew, they both left their father's fishing business. And the same with John and James. They both of these sets of brothers, Jesus' disciples, they left the boats and the nets and the steady income to follow Jesus. And I believe Peter right here, what he's doing is he's actually looking for some reassurance. He's contrasting and comparing this scene with this guy who just left. Peter wants to hear that we're in the right boat. He's saying, Lord, tell us we've made the right choice in following you, because that guy's got a pretty sweet life and he's chose to keep it. But we don't even have half the things that that guy has, and we gave up everything to follow you. That guy's going to go home to his luxuries and his sweet, comfy purple mattress, and we're not even entirely sure where we're sleeping tonight. We want to know that we've made the right decision, Lord. The big idea I see is that we all want reassurance, don't we? That we're on the right path, that we've made the right choice. Being human means we need reassurance every once in a while. And maybe you grew up in a home there, you didn't get much reassurance. Or maybe you got tons of reassurance, but still, we all have the strong need to want to know that we're valued, that we're appreciated, that we're important, or that we made the right choice. We did the right thing. And maybe that means for you today, you're watching, and maybe you're with your parents, you're a young kiddo, and you're at home, and you're sitting with your parents. You know how good it feels to be reassured by mom and dad when they tell you you're doing a good job as a big brother or a little sister, or you're doing great in school, or you want to be reassured that there's no monster under your bed, right? We love those feelings. Or maybe you're a parent. You need to be reassured that you're doing a good job, that your kids aren't killing you and you're doing awesome so far. Or maybe you're a parent and your kids have grown up and now your children are reassuring you. They're checking in on you to make sure that they're okay. They need to reassure you that they're doing fine. In our marriages, we need words of affirmation. We need to reassure one another that we love one another unconditionally and we're with one another through thick and thin. My poor wife, you can pray for your sister. She needs to reassure me 100 times a day. Or it's maybe our job security. We need to know that our jobs are safe and secure. Or maybe you don't have a job. You've lost a job. And you need to know that all the right pieces are falling into place for the new job. We want reassurance in many different ways. And I believe what we're seeing from Peter here is that he's a lot like us. He wants that reassurance. He wants to know that he's not being a fool because he just quit his job. He doesn't want to find out the hard way that following Jesus was the wrong choice. And friends, listen here. I'm telling you, when it comes to our spirituality, our Christianity, there are going to be times where you really need some of the Lord's reassurance. Maybe today you're feeling that right now. Maybe you're feeling just discouraged. You're feeling uncertain. You're looking at other people's lives and it just feels like they're fine and dandy and your life's just a real mess. Or maybe you're just confused and tired, burnt out. Days where you just feel like thrown in the towel. Maybe that's what every day for you feels like. And then to add to that, there's this real reality that following Jesus to the unbelieving world, it looks incredibly foolish. You'll hear people say, wait, you believe what? Like the Bible? You actually believe all of it? And you're still going to church? Like they closed church doors. You don't have to go to church anymore. Why? You're getting online and actually willingly watching church services? Or you pray? Huh. Or you talk to other people in small groups about what you're learning in your Bibles? Wow, that's really foolish to the world. As a believer, it feels like we're standing out and we're lights on a hill, but it doesn't really feel like that. We feel like Paul McCartney and the Beatles wrote a song about us called The Fool on the Hill. Or maybe you start comparing someone's life to your life and going, man, it looks like I'm the fool. God's word speaks to us right here in those moments. And Peter watched this guy get up and leave, and he went home to all of his great stuff. He's not following Jesus, but it says he went away sorrowful, but he went home to a house that probably had a finished basement. He drives a Tesla and has a Traeger and an underground pool. And Peter looks back at the misfits that he's hanging out with, who's all quit their jobs to follow Jesus, and he wants to know that they made the right choice. And don't we all? We want reassurance. So Jesus responds with some great promises that were not only true for the 12 and Peter, but for us as well. Read this with me in verse 29 and 30. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. So we need to stop for a moment right here, because before we can unpack and embrace these promises, I want to tackle something before we get there. It's this reality right here, this word in verse 30, persecution. Persecution's a real reality in this life. That unfortunately, for following Jesus, there may become a time, that may be a reality in your life where you will experience persecutions. Following Christ may come with a painful cost. And it can come a bunch of different ways. Jesus mentions a few, right? And I know for sure this is true for many of the people in our own church family. And maybe this is true for you as well. Maybe you've been forsaken by your own parents, your family, because you became a born-again Christian. Or maybe you're a wife struggling with an unbelieving husband, or vice versa. Or maybe your family's not even speaking to one another because maybe you shared Christ with them over the holidays. I know there are believers who have left their jobs, even lost their jobs because of the environment, or as a result, they had to change jobs, get lower paying careers, sell their homes, even moving out of state. You may be betrayed. You may be unfriended by lifelong friends. You may be isolated and outcast as the weirdo at school. You may be made fun of and ridiculed on social media. Those are just a few examples. Not to mention losing your life. That's a real reality in our world, that there are Christians around the world losing their life for following Jesus. Persecution is a real reality. That's definitely a hard truth to hear, but it shouldn't come as a surprise, right? When you look at Jesus and what he says in John chapter 15, we live in a world that rejects Jesus, his words and his love and his mercy and his kindness. And he says in John 15, 20, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. This may be the things, the people that you really love, that you lose for following Jesus. Some may lose their lives for the gospel. That's true. Others may lose their families, their careers, lifelong friends. Persecution is a real reality. But this verse is still a positive. Jesus reassures believers that we've gained something. We've gained something. Go back to verse 29 and 30. Jesus says, there is no one who has left. That means not anyone. There's not one person who's given up their life for Jesus, maybe losing any of these things, been abandoned by these things we mentioned. He says, not one has left any of these things for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive. Right there, you see that? Receive. We're talking about a promise. Jesus is talking about rewards that you will receive for your devotion to follow Jesus. And he says it's 100-fold in this time, meaning right now, in this life, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. What Jesus is saying here is he's giving his disciples a sneak peek at what is to become the Christian church. The church is a gift from God. So that's our next big idea. The church is a gift from Jesus himself. We've gained a Christian family. It's beautiful. When you follow Jesus, you receive this gift, a community larger than the family that you have now, that you've come from, a family that begins right here with Jesus and the 12 disciples, and then shortly after in Pentecost grew by 3,000, a family that has grown by thousands and thousands through the impact of the apostles and the apostle Paul, and then 2,000 years of our family growing, people being born again by the Spirit of God right up to you sitting on your couch, your treadmill, whatever, your futon, whatever you're on right now. It's a family that is a gift from God. And when you follow Jesus, you receive this. You become part of his people, the children of God. You were once orphans to the world, and God has picked you up, adopted you, and placed him in his family. And now you have, verse 30, many fathers and mothers and spiritual brothers and spiritual sisters and spiritual sons and daughters. This family we call a church is a gift. It's a reward from the Lord. Do you see the church as a gift from God? When you think about all the different ways the men and women through the local church that you know have been like family to you, when you are feeling alone during a difficult storm in your life, maybe right now even during this COVID-19 pandemic, during loss, or maybe during celebrating the birth of your children and celebrating weddings and birthdays and just the community, that's a gift from God. Did you know that God gives spiritual care to you directly through the women and men that we call the church? These are your pastors and your deacons and the small group leaders and the people in community and that you do life with. They're to love and support you. And God has given these men and women in the church spiritual gifts for you, to serve you. You have spiritual gifts to serve them, to carry one another's burdens. That's a gift. And Jesus says this family is 100-fold blessing in your life, not 10-fold, which would be pretty sweet, not 50-fold, which would be even sweeter, but he says 100-fold family, a blessing to you that is so dear to Jesus that from this moment on in the gospel, he's going to head to the cross to die for them, to preserve them, this family he's given you. God saves us for his glory, for his purposes, for himself, but he also saves us for our good, and he gives us a family for our good. He's reassuring his disciples in this moment and us that though we may suffer loss in this life, you may lose family, you may lose a career and friends or your own life, but anything we lose in this life, we haven't lost anything because we have only gained everything in following Jesus. And the local church is just a sip of the goodness of God that is available to all who thirst and come to Jesus. I hope you see that the church of God is a gift to you. So then, Jesus reassures something even better. Those who follow Jesus in this life, those who may lose in this life, they gain something. For those who have lost anything for his sake and for the gospel will receive 100-fold now in the age to come, eternal life. Eternal life is a reassuring promise from God himself. While in this life, we may have ups and downs and seasons that we wish we can cancel, events that we wish we could delete and have a do-over, sorrows that we wish would go away. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, we have eternal life. Oh, amen. That's so beautiful. This life right now in comparison to eternity, eternal life with Jesus, you can have it, man. Think about this. How do you compare this life is like, it'd be like the car commercial before the actual Super Bowl, right? You have to sit through that boring, lame 30-second car commercial. That's this life, a boring car commercial. And then eternity is the eternal Super Bowl, or better. I mean, this life is the 10-hour car ride to Disneyland, and heaven is opening, walking into those eternal gates called Disneyland. A horrible way to explain it, but this life, you can have it. For what we've gained in Jesus, none of those things can hold a candle to what we're anticipating. Eternal life, heaven, being in the presence of Jesus forever, that's our reality. He's promised us that. Beloved, we have to set our eyes on that truth. That's our reality today. If you're ever having thoughts of doubt, thoughts of, man, what if following Jesus is just not what I was anticipating it to be? Remember everything that's lumped in right here, that's included with Jesus. It's all victory. It's all joy. You are blessed now. You are blessed in eternity. You have eternal life now. That's beautiful. That's our future. So Peter wanted assurance. He says in verse 28, see, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. And Jesus assures him. He says, you're right in following me. He says, truly, amen, you've made the right choice, Christian. These are true for us, that we are more loved and cared and provided for and nourished and comforted right now in Jesus and forever in eternity than we will ever imagine. And Jesus right here says he will spend an eternity demonstrating that to you. So when you find yourself discouraged, maybe like Peter here, uncertain, you need some of that reassurance, do what Peter did. Go to the Lord. Go to the Word of God. Bring your questions here. Bring your concerns here. Feed your soul and your mind and in your heart with God's promises. Come to the Lord and regain your perspective of who you are and what's awaiting for you. So moving on, verse 31. Jesus says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. We won't spend too much time here because the reading's pretty simple. What Jesus is saying is that all are equal in the family of God. If you look in the parallel account of the Gospel of Matthew, I believe it's Matthew chapter 20, there's the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And Jesus explains this. And what he's teaching us is that we are eternally equal. The first will be last, and the last will be first. This means that in eternity, we're all priests. We're all co-heirs. We're all inheritors of the same treasure, King Jesus Christ. And that's true whether you follow Jesus for 50 years or 50 minutes. Whether you have lots of money or you don't got much of it, in eternity, none of that matters. The first will be last, and the last will be first. It's all the same. And maybe if you're watching with us today and you don't really know that these promises can be yours, you don't believe that these reassuring words from Jesus apply to you, I'm glad you're with us today, because these words from Jesus, these promises from the Lord can be yours. And the Lord, my friend, the Lord may be drawing you to him today. I encourage you to listen with fresh ears, listen without a hardened heart. God may be inviting you to become a part of this family. And his word right now, in these next verses, he wants us to understand just how serious Jesus is about securing these promises for us. Our final verses today, Jesus is telling his disciples once again, this is the third time in the Gospel of Mark, about his forthcoming death. He tells us that all that he is about to endure to secure these promises for us. So please read with me again in Mark chapter 10. Verse 32, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. You're always going up to Jerusalem, you'll notice. And Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him. So Jesus right here, he digs his heels in with determination. to walk straight towards the cruel torture and betrayal and death that awaits him. He says to his disciples, he begins to tell them what is to happen to him. And in verse 33, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." So what we need to consider here is that Jesus is telling his disciples about the details about how he's going to be killed. Think about that. In verse 32, he began to tell them what was to happen to him. This hasn't happened yet. The crucifixion hasn't happened yet. And he's telling them details about how he would die very specifically that no one has the ability to do. Nobody can do that. Unless, of course, you're God. Jesus is God. He knows all things, even every minute detail of his own death. Before Judas would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, Jesus called him out and said, "Do what you're going to go do." Before the chief priests and the scribes were planning to kill him, Jesus called him out. They were falsely accusing him. Jesus called them out to their face. Before Pilate would wash his hands of Jesus and send him to death, Jesus knew. Before the Romans would strip King Jesus of his clothes and humiliate him, before they would rip the flesh off of his back with a cat o' nine whip with glass and bones attached to it, before they would spit and mock him and smash the crown of thorns on top of his head, before they would make him carry his own cross to the place of skull, before they would pierce his hands and feet to a cross, before they would pierce his side, rupturing his lungs and his heart, Jesus knew every single detail about the death he was about to endure. And he went willingly. Because of God's desire to save mankind. God loves to save sinners, people like me and you. This has been God's redemptive plan from before time began, and all scripture points to and finds its fulfillment in this moment in our world's history. It's good news. It's beautiful for us because after 3 days, he rose again. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." For this reason, Jesus dug his feet into the dirt and went straight towards his own execution. And after 3 days, he rose from the grave. We celebrated that last week with Easter. Christians, we celebrate that, honestly, every day. That Jesus will rise. The tomb that once held his lifeless body, there's no body there. Jesus' tomb is empty. He rose and he conquered sin and death and the devil for you. To reassure these promises for you. When today, honestly, we just saw two promises from Jesus. But there are so many more. You understand that? This Bible is chock full of God's promises. And I know you won't be able to see all of these very well on the screen at home. But if you go to the Rock Church app, you go to the website, and you look at today's messages, I'd encourage you to go to the notes section, the discussion. There's all of these right here for you. These are 10 reassuring promises for those who follow Jesus. We've seen these first two today. We have eternal life. We have a family. Deuteronomy says we are never alone. God will never forsake or abandon us. We are loved unconditionally by God. There is nothing that will separate us from his love. We have new identities in Jesus Christ. We will not waste our life. You will never waste a moment of your life for following Jesus. Your life is eternally safe and it belongs to God. You have spiritual gifts. You will never be a burden to God. He will never run out of patience with you. Isn't that amazing? And you'll have a compassionate father, a good father. That is the truth for all of us who believe. And church, I encourage you today with your family, you go to that Rock Church app and you go through these with your family, read them out loud together. There's also some really great discussion questions that I've put up for you as well. You can talk through some of these discussion questions with your family, with your friends, after this service today, I'd really encourage you to do that. But brothers and sisters, let us never lose sight of everything that we have gained, everything that is true for us who follow Christ. So now for those, as we're closing, you would not call yourself a Christian. You would not say these promises are yours. And you're going, man, those promises sound good. Those reassuring words from Jesus, I could sure use that. I want you to know they can be yours. This is the message of Christianity, that God loves to save sinners and give them something greater than we could ever imagine. And God, through Jesus Christ, allows the broken and the burdened to come to him and find forgiveness and friendship and family with the God who created them. That's good news. Have you come to this Jesus for your forgiveness? Everything that Jesus has promised can be yours today. But he commands you to turn from a life of sin, a life of rebellion and independence and antagonism towards God. He says you have to turn from that and come follow me. You become a Christian today. You follow Jesus today. And these reassuring promises are yours because he's promised them with the blood of his own body, and he's crushed on your behalf, and he rose from the grave 3 days later. You follow Jesus and be welcomed into this family and his forgiveness and his eternal life. If you'd like to learn more about receiving this forgiveness, to knowing that these promises are yours, we'd encourage you to go again to the website, thetrc.life/connect. We would love to hear from you. We would love to help you understand how you can take Jesus and you can run to him for forgiveness, and he will assure you everything that you need in this life and in the next. Come follow Jesus, and your life will never be the same. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It is truth. It is good for us. It's so good for us. Lord, I pray for my family, my brothers and sisters at home watching this weekend, that, Lord, I pray that you met them somewhere during the worship and during the message, God, that you drew closer to them. And in response, they drew closer to you. God, that's the power of your word. We believe that. That's the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you for these truths today. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you lived, the life that was put to death on our behalf, and that 3 days later you rose from the grave. Thank you, Jesus, that you did that with us in mind. You love us. You gave your life for us. We believe that. My friend, if you are here and you are not a Christian, God commands you to turn to him today. You can cry out to Jesus, say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm a mess, I'm broken, I need redemption. God, I need forgiveness. The things that I do, I don't know why I do them, but God, will you forgive me of my sins? I want to follow you. I don't want to be like that rich young ruler. I want to follow you, Jesus, like your disciples. Whatever this world may bring, Lord, I just want to follow you because I believe that you loved me and you died to save me, and that if I follow you, all of these promises will be mine. My friend, if that's your prayer, we encourage you again to go to the website, trc.life/connect. We would love to follow up with you. We'd love to hear you. And Lord, you're good to us. For all of us who know you, thank you for being a good father. We love you. We worship you. We treasure you. We give our lives to you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.